Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
It is time to talk movies and more. Pass the Popcorn. Alan Adams with us here in studio. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Did you happen to run into Ron and Jen?
I did on the way out. It was nice to see those folks.
Yeah. That's a cool thing they're doing over there.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I'm always in favor of people finding alternative uses for spaces, you know, to keep them sort of, spaces just are, they're just alive when there are people there, regardless of what's happening. And so this seems like a really good choice for them. I hope it all comes together.
Yeah, definitely. How was your weekend?
I had a lovely weekend. It was packed, but yeah.
Focus group show Friday. How was that?
It was good. We had a decent crowd, and we had a good show. We were fortunate in that we were mid introduction when Kay comes screeching in, which is good because. It just gets a little weird when it's all dudes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's Kay's presence doesn't keep us from going off the rails, but we go off the rails in a
it's a more subtle decline.
Right, right? a much more acceptable way. Yeah. So that was good. But yeah, no, we had a really good time. The folks who turned out seemed to have fun as well. So that was a lot of fun. And then Saturday night was the soiree for the Bangor Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, right, right.
At the Collins Center for the Arts. So we went to that. We got gussied up and put on our finest and went and had some snacks and drank some drinks and listened to some music. It was a lot of fun.
And then last night at your annual Oscar party.
I'll have you know that it's coming home.
Oh,
Rich.
The belt is back.
The belt is back where it belongs.
Nice.
It was tight. We actually had a really closely bunched group at the top. We were like, I think the top four places were only separated by like three correct answers. Ooh. So it was a really tight.
Come down to documentary shorts. One of the.
You know, it really just boiled down to it's yeah. I mean, it's. It all comes down to people properly predicting like who the big like down ballot favorite was going to be, I had my ear to the ground, and the indication was that for a lot of the down ballot stuff there's going to be a lot of Poor Things attention, and so leaning into that not as much as some folks. We did have one attendee, I will not name names, who went real hard for Poor Things, like voted for it just about everywhere they could, which, some years, not the worst strategy. It didn't necessarily work out that well for them this time around. But yeah, it was super fun. I had designed eight different themed cocktails for the evening.
Ooh.
It was a lot of merriment. Sheridan, put together some delicious dips, and we had some popcorn with fancy seasonings. Like we had some fun.
Nice.
We had some fun.
Well, let's talk about the Oscars. What were your thoughts overall?
I was reminded that while 2023 was a weird year for movies in a lot of ways, it was also a pretty good one in terms of the quality of, stuff that we eventually wound up getting.
Yeah, for a year that had to deal with so many problems along the way with the strikes.
You know, and release dates getting pushed and stuff like that. So it's really interesting to see how it all sort of culminates. But say what you will about the guy. I'm not necessarily a huge fan, but I think you just let Kimmel keep doing this.
He's great.
You know,
he is fantastic.
Yeah, he really it's funny, like you don't wanna overinflate, but it's like he really is reminiscent of like the dudes who used to do it all the time back in the day. Like he's got a little bit of that I almost want to say like vaudeville vibe. Like he just has there's a very hands in pockets sort of ease right. that he handles it with that I think is key for a show like this.
And you know, you got to be able to adjust on the fly, and he's very good at that. I mean, even if a writer gave it to him, the response to the Trump post late in the show, I thought that was fantastic.
So what I heard was that the producers behind the scenes were like, you've got a little extra time, we got to do something. He's like, I'm going to read the Trump post. And they're like, I don't know, Jimmy. And he's like, nope. And then he did, and the bit killed, and yeah. it was great. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, to be good, and I think you said it really nicely. Like, that's the sort of rolling with the moment in the moment that I think you have to have in an award ceremony, especially something that's, you know, they did a pretty good job keeping it tight, and it was still, what, 3.5 hours yeah. long? Like, it's a long night, so.
And there were some great speeches, but man, for my money, Ken was the star of the night.
I don't know, I've seen, like, headlines from at least two different pretty prominent internet publications today, basically positing that that Ryan Gosling essentially saved the Oscars. but no, it was such a spectacular moment because, and it comes back to what we were just talking about with Jimmy Kimmel. Like, Ryan Gosling is a guy who is not afraid to go for it, and he went big and broad and sang live. Like, that was, he was not lip syncing.
No,
which,
oh, no.
You know, I have a little bit of a pet peeve with that. But yeah, like, for them to bust out this whole, like, Busby Berkeley, like, gigantic dance number, like, and all a bunch of the Kens from the movie joined him on stage for the dance. Like, he's a pretty good singer. Like,
yes, he is.
You know, it's easy for people to forget that, you know, he's got that sort of song dance background. You know, and well, and it's always nice to see a former Mouseketeer doing well.
I thought the John Cena bit was great.
I David Niven and the Oscar streaker is one of my favorite bits of Academy Awards lore. And so seeing that sort of an homage being paid to that by another guy who, let's just say, wasn't afraid to let it all hang out.
No.
But as I said in the moment, I'm like, well, you know, if I looked like that without my clothes on, I'd never wear any.
Right.
but it's just, and I mean, it's indicative, like I like seeing that because it's one of those, like John Cena is like a legitimately talented comic performer. Mm. Like, he is. And it's weird to say that about the guy who, you know, wore jorts and, like, was a professional wrestler for 15 years. But yeah, he's very good and very game. And so you get that, you know, that energy in the room. I'm sure it was a delight, because it was a delight to watch at home.
I really liked, and some were better than others, but big picture, I liked having the former winners come out and introduce the nominees in the acting categories.
Oh, I agree 1,000%. Like, that just, it's because it's, you know, because it's a throwback. Like, they yeah. used to do it that way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a wonderful way, especially considering the sort of pace and the speed at which the culture moves now. It's nice to use that opportunity to just remind people. It's like, oh, hey, like, you know, I know we're talking about these movies right now, but remember these performances? Remember these performers? Yeah. Like, it was really nice. And I think they did a really good job of finding the balance between, you know, sort of running the gamut as far as, like, time frame is concerned. Like, they did a pretty good job of, you know, some recent winners, but also, you know, a few old school ones sprinkled in there as well, which was kind of nice.
And after Al Pacino's introduction, I think Travolta's off the hook now for Adele Dazeem, right?
Man, does Al Pacino just, does he like live in the basement?
I think so.
Like, it's like
he looked like
he rolled out of bed directly onto the stage.
All
and
right.
someone handed him an envelope. He's like, the hell is this? And just like, my eyes tell me Oppenheimer. And it's like, and then it's like, oh, okay, I guess. Like,
did we win? I'm not really sure.
I guess we're done?
Did he say La La Land? I don't know. Wow, that was bizarre.
It was really weird. But, you know, in its way, like, not a bad button for the evening.
No,
truth
no,
be told,
not at
and,
all.
You know, and we had seen the clips of the movies like throughout the ceremony, as we always do. It's not like we forgot who was nominated. I appreciate the desire to sort of get those names on the record one more time, but you know what? Al's got stuff to do.
That's
like
right.
he's a very busy guy. I don't know if people appreciate just how much he's got going on. I mean, he's got a baby at home, you know, and he's like 100. So yep. Like he's really got a lot that he needs to deal with. I mean, I think overall, I enjoyed myself, you know, and it seems like for the most part, the with one I would say exception. I think most everyone won what they should win, and you know, and
but I think you thought, didn't you think Lily Gladstone was going to win for Best Actress?
Yeah. I mean, not only I would have bet money on it. Like I was really certain, for a number of reasons. One, her performance is outstanding, you know, and it's like, oh, you're in a movie with DiCaprio and De Niro, and you're still the best performer in it. Like that's like if you give the best performance when you're up against those two dudes, like you've done something special. Yeah. And I don't know, like I would have, and it, maybe it speaks to some underlying issues or what have you, or just, you know, but it's like, really, like you've got a shot at recognize, like at granting the first Indigenous actor, awarding an acting award to an Indigenous actor for the first time. That's a really great opportunity. And the fact that the voting body kind of blew it, is unfortunate. But, you know, I don't want to assign sinister motives when the simple truth could very well be they just love Emma Stone.
Yeah, and she had a great speech.
Yeah, and she's incredibly talented. And, you know, her work in Poor Things has been universally lauded. So it's not like, you know, it's not like one of those ones where you're going to look back on, you know, 5 years from now and be like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. Mm. How did that happen? It's just like it was kind of a close race, even though I feel like Gladstone kind of took a lot of the big trophies, but I think all of those were pretty close. And when the margins are that close, things can flip pretty easily.
Also a great speech. And I'm pretty sure you told this last week. You thought, is it Cord Jefferson would win for screenplay for American Fiction? That was great.
Yeah. He's a super talented dude too. And it'll be really great to see what kind of work he's able to do going forward, thanks to getting this kind of recognition. Yeah. Because it's, you know, there are a ton of people out there who it's like, you know, yes, an Oscar is always going to be a prestigious honor, but, you know, like Robert Downey Jr. is going to work regardless of whether or not he wins an Academy Award. But when you have some of these other folks, it's like, that's a calling card. Like that is now you don't have to fight to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
Like that is your foot in the door. And I mean, that can make all the difference for a lot of these folks.
And what a nice moment when, Davine Joy Randolph won for The Holdovers. And first to see Paul Giamatti with tears in his eyes and then him helping her make her way to the stage.
Yeah. Those two clearly love and respect each other. Yeah. And you know, cause it's interesting because, you know, all these cohorts, like for the nominated films, like a lot of the casts and directors, they all kind of sit together, you know, with the intent of presenting a united front and all that. Some feel more organic and real than others.
Yes.
We'll just put it like that.
Yeah.
It's clear that the people involved with The Holdovers have real, genuine affection for one another. And so it's always nice when they can sort of celebrate one another's accomplishments. And, you know, it was nice to know to know which eye to look at for Giamatti. So that was good.
And I love the line that Nick Cage had when he was introducing Giamatti. Would I do that? Hell yes.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, well, it's so funny because, like, you could tell, like, You could tell how tickled Giamatti was by that whole bit. Like it's so good, you know. And he's like, you know, and he's such a sport. And it's like, it's tough because, you know, he had to know like this was how this was gonna play out. And yet, like, you show up, you know, and you keep it classy. And that's what Giamatti and a lot of these folks did.
Yeah, and like, whatever people thought of Oppenheimer, it was great to see Christopher Nolan finally get one.
Right. Like, I mean, that dude's been making great movies for like 20 years. Like, we need to, like, this is overdue. It's the great thing about it is we're not in a Scorsese situation, you know, where it's like, This is a generational filmmaker, but we haven't given him an Oscar yet. All right, whatever you got next. Like, it's his right. turn. While this was, one could argue this was a his turn kind of pick for Nolan. Fact of the matter is, it's probably his best movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the reasoning and the results lined up in a way that they don't always for this sort of thing. So yeah, it was great to see him up there getting the chance to finally accept one of these after having lost several times and not even been nominated for some great work. Right. You know, so it's nice to see him finally get a chance to pour one of those on his mantle.
Now, did you find yourself at any time as you were learning about the movies and they were talking about them, saying about a movie you didn't see? Wow. Now I really have to make a point of watching that.
I mean, the big one for me is probably Zone of Interest, which I had been avoiding largely because of subject matter.
Right.
But you know, it was so well received, and people talked about it in such a glowing way. It's like, all right, I guess. And you know, being so disconnected from it, like I didn't even realize that the woman who was the lead in Anatomy of a Fall
right.
is also in Zone of Interest. I didn't realize that, and so it's like, oh, because she was great, and so it's like, all right, well, I guess I will go. I will eventually see this movie. I'm just gonna have to find a time when I don't know, when things are going well and I'm feeling good about the world, and that those moments are kind of tough to come by these days. So it will be an eventuality. And then of course there are always the you know, the shorts. You see that stuff pop up and you're like, oh, I should really make an effort to seek these out.
And you've seen Anatomy of a Fall, right?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I haven't seen it yet, but after that, I've got to put that on my list.
Yeah, you should check it out. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I think you should just check it out because I think you'll have a good time.
Well, I think it was during the introduction when somebody said, you know, and I still don't know if she did it or not.
Right.
Yeah. I want to see that movie.
Yeah, that's how the French do it, man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ambiguity. But yeah, it was it was great. It was lovely to see Cillian Murphy getting the win for Oppenheimer. He was so excellent. But it was wild, and we always we always kind of talk about it, but it's like when the nominees are all just sort of like lined up the little pictures together, and you're looking at these people and you're thinking about the work that they've done, and you're just like, man, like everyone was great. Best Actor was stacked this year.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, like they're always, you know, incredibly talented people, but like, man, between like Murphy, Giamatti, the fact that Jeffrey Wright like was basically an also ran
right
after the work that he did in American Fiction, which I did get to see.
Wasn't that terrific?
Oh man. It's one of those things where like, you just to see someone so seamlessly kind of like that wonderful connection between performer and material, like it just like the stars don't necessarily align like that all the time. And so seeing that happen.
And how great was Sterling K. Brown?
That's the thing, you know, and Tracy Ellis Ross, even though she's in like she's only in it for a bit, like she's great. It was just it's such a wonderful movie. And as someone with someone with great fondness for the literary world, it's like, oh yeah, let's take some swings. I'm ready for it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Let's go.
Issa Rae,
she's great.
Even Leslie Uggams, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, right.
That was wonderful. Well, it was a great night. I thought it was a good show, and as you said, it reminded you that it was maybe a better year for movies than you thought going in.
Yeah. And there are a couple of things that, like, you know, the usual complaints. They screwed up the In Memoriam, as they always do.
Worse.
Yeah.
Here's the look, of all the faults that you have with those segments, the one I will never understand is why you would show anything other than the pictures of the people who died. When you do that long shot where you see the musicians, you're like, who is that? Is that, I don't know, is that... I think it's Martha Ray. Oh no, sorry, it was Pee Wee Herman.
Right, and then you get and then it's like, oh hey, here's a wall of text for 2 seconds.
That was awful. That was the worst.
Like I don't know who made that decision, but it's just like.
And I know there were other omissions, but I think even in that, they still forgot Treat Williams even from that list.
Right. Yeah. Like, jeez. It just, I don't know. Like, I don't, it's, and again, like, it's by definition, it's imperfect. Like, there's always,
they should just run what TCM does because they do a brilliant job with it every year.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, TCM always, and they do it at the end of the calendar year.
Right.
But they do, it's about a 3 or 4 minute montage, and it's fantastic. They should just run that instead.
Well, and it's like, I mean, come on, guys. It's, you know, we're here for 3.5 hours anyway. Like, what's another 2 minutes?
Right.
Like, if that's, you know, if we need, you know, if you need more time, cut Guillermo, you know,
yeah.
Like.
Yeah, that could have gone.
I mean, it's just, but. And the other sort of weird thing to my mind was the goose egg for Killers of the Flower Moon. Like,
yeah.
Nothing. Which I think
was it timing? Did it come out a little too early?
You know, it's tough. Like, you know, part of me is like, oh, maybe, like, you know, you're like, you want to be like, oh, is there some sort of you know, producer related backlash? But no, the Academy's already recognized an Apple funded movie as Best Picture. You know,
right.
Like, it's not like, it's nothing like that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's, it's just, it feels weird, and it wasn't. Favored in really anything except for Best Actress, but it's weird that it didn't get anything. But you know, there's a lot of times you get one of those movies, you know, something that gets a boatload of nominations and then for whatever reason winds up being like, you know, the third best in that thing,
right?
In all those categories. Like, there's no shame in that, but it's it was just mildly surprising, I guess.
Surprising that Godzilla got more Oscars than Killers of the Flower Moon.
That is a way to put it that sort of emphasizes the weirdness. But, you know, and not for nothing, I didn't see Godzilla Minus One. I'm definitely going to see Godzilla Minus One. Because I actually do enjoy a Godzilla movie. And I had people in my orbit saying, you know, this Godzilla Minus One is actually a really good movie. And it's like, I mean, okay. Like, it's, you know, it's, I'm not expecting great filmmaking from my Godzilla movies.
Right.
I guess I'll just put it that way. But, you know, and then you hear these stories about the filmmakers, like, meeting Spielberg, and Spielberg, like, gushing over the quality of their work, and them basically just immediately just dropping dead on the floor from joy at having been acknowledged by one of their heroes. Like, it's just, like, those sorts of stories are the ones that I think make all the rest of it worth it.
Right.
If that makes sense. You know, and then you hear stories about, you know, unnamed studios being upset because the Anatomy of a Fall people brought the dog to the luncheon, and they were like, oh, that is, you were going to unduly, you know, influence the voters with your cute dog. Yes, Messi the dog was his name. Which, whatever. Like, I mean, I see a cute dog, I'm probably going to vote for it.
Me too.
But. Just so we're clear, while we did see some indicators that Messi was in the building, he was in fact not. He was still in France because, you know, he's a dog,
right,
and doesn't understand any of this. And also, you know, France is pretty far away.
Right.
Trying to think. Other than that, put up, I should tell people, 20 for 23.
Woo!
Was my
that is impressive.
It was good. Well, and
who was runner up?
Danielle Pelletier.
Oh, nice.
With
nice
19.
Job. Wow.
Adam Cousins came in with, I think, 18, and then Paul Rudolph was at 16. So we had a really nice bunch there up the top.
Impressive.
But yeah, no, I missed on Lily Gladstone, I missed because I voted for Barbie. I believe it was definitely production design and I think costume design.
Poor Things got those. Yeah.
It was. It was one of those things where I went with my heart. Although I will say, it's weird because I still have not seen Poor Things, so I can't speak fully to it. But I cannot fathom that. The production design of that film being better than what I saw in Barbie. That's just tough because that is, for my money, one of the best production designs, not only of the year, but like of the, the last, I don't know, 10. Yeah. Like, it just, like, so fully encapsulated the, you know, the spirit and the conceit of the movie. And that's what production design is supposed to do.
Right.
So, but again, like, I am not an Academy voter. and so, yeah, we'll just have to see. I will say, before we wrap things up, one of the things about this year in movies that I don't think is necessarily true of past years, I think there's a lot of movies that are going to hold up from this group, you know, in that they'll still be part of the conversation 5 years from now, 10 years from now, particularly the ones at the top, which is not always the case. But, like, you know, Barbie's going to be a thing 10 years from now.
Oppenheimer's
going to be
holdovers.
Killers of the Flower Moon is going to be a thing. Like, those are movies that are going to stick around.
Yeah.
You know, there's not that sort of vaguely artsy vibe that ultimately proves to be a little too cutesy.
Right. And that makes you say, oh, that was so 2023.
Dates itself really quickly and sort of fades from the consciousness. I mean, I'm sure there are some movies that will do that in this cohort, but I feel like we got a lot of, I don't want to throw around the word classic, but, like, I think these are movies that people are going to watch for years to come.
What's the next film coming out that you're excited to see?
Man, you know, there are a couple kicking around that I'm very curious about. There's one, it's the directorial debut of Dev Patel, the actor.
Okay, yeah,
he is also starring. I believe it's called Monkey Man, but near as I can tell, it is a Bollywood flavored version of, like, it feels very John Wick. So he's like going full action, like doing something like. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
let's
see that.
Yeah, let's see about this. Let's go. And then there's a lot of big dumb stuff coming. I mentioned Godzilla, the Godzilla King Kong team up movie is coming in a couple of weeks, and I'm like, yeah, like, this is going to be stupid, but I'm going to watch it. Beyond that, it's just, I'm just waiting to see. Like, it's funny because I wonder when the sort of glut is going to happen, because so much stuff kind of got backed up by the strikes, and so release dates got sort of pushed, and so we'll have to see, like, are they going to push other movies back further? Are they going to just release stuff all kind of together? What are they going to do? We don't really know yet what that's going to look like. So, I mean, this summer could be a very interesting movie going sort of period for folks, in that, you know, I mean, there's a good chance there's going to be just even more stuff than we're accustomed to seeing. And that's saying something.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.
Alan Adams talking movies with his son, Pass the Popcorn.